Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone and happy new year. Welcome to episode 106 of From Long Distance to Marriage.
And the first of 2021.
The first of 2021. So firstly, yeah, we took a week off, a couple weeks, enjoyed the holidays and a bit of a slowdown, but we're glad to be back now. Lots planned for 2021, so keep your eyes peeled for information and your ears peeled, I guess.
When you peel ears?
You don't peel eyes.
That's gross.
This is disgusting.
Stay alert.
Yes. Keep the feelers out. Keep your spidey senses open and see what we get you. Anyways, yeah, lots of stuff planned, so bear with us as we get some new projects. I mean, still long distance to marriage, but some more content and stuff that we'll be telling you about as it happens. But yeah, happy new year. Death to 2020 seems to be the emotion everywhere, but we wanted to touch on that actually in this episode. So we wanted to talk about fresh starts in relationships. So you can do this anytime. And I think, babe, would you like to tell everyone your opinion on when you can start fresh starts?
Whenever the fuck you need to.
And sooner rather than later.
Now. Yeah. The way, like, so this wasn't explained to me in a resolution-y way, but the thing I was taught this year and I've tried to implement is, for success, like in any arena, the ideal approach is you want to minimize the gap between making a decision and acting on it to zero. So, like, New Year's, I've gone through the full range of emotions for New Year's. I used to make resolutions and then fail at them. Mm-hmm. I've kind of turned away from them and said, you know, they're useless, they're a waste of time, they don't work. And now I've got a different approach to them. And my approach generally now is when you know something needs to be done, do it now. So, you know, I've started workout routines midweek. When I had to start my new business earlier this year, that was a Friday. My New Year's resolutions last year, I started just after Christmas. So by the time, that was very deliberate. And the reason, my thought process for that was, I want to have momentum come January 1st. And you think as well, historically, what normally happens is people get really drunk New Year's Eve. At the very least, you're up till midnight, you're quite tired. You know, you're up beyond midnight, rather. So you're very tired. There's a big, excited evening, which isn't that means straight away you're on the back foot on the first because you're tired. Maybe you're hungover. And then what you always want to do in that situation is just make yourself feel comfortable. You don't feel like going for a long walk, going for a run, eating vegetables, whatever it is you want to do. So, yeah, basically, when you know something needs to be done, act straight away. You're never going to have more motivation than that specific moment.
I think pushing it down into a cute little saying or a bit of a pithy thing is what you've been saying is don't wait till Monday.
Yeah, like that's my life motto.
Don't wait till Monday. Everyone says, oh, do you know what, after the weekend I'm going to stop drinking, or after the weekend I'm going to, you know, get back on track with my diet, or I'm going to start painting again. Like, it doesn't even have to be related to the new year. It could just be after a particular occasion.
I'll start my diet Monday.
Yeah, that's, everyone says I'm going to start Monday. And we have two rules in this house. Never skip a Monday. So whatever that is you're doing, whether that's a reading challenge, whether it's a fitness challenge, we always say, like, never skip a Monday because it's the hardest day to do it. But once you do it, then it sets you up for the rest of the week to be successful in whatever it is you're trying to do. And don't wait till Monday to start. So Mondays are powerful days.
I actually really like Mondays because
I don't like getting out of bed, but after that, it's good.
Like, I know that everyone, the things people don't like about Monday, I also don't like about Monday. You know, like, it can be hard after weekend. But what I do like about them, and particularly about things that are in your control, so you're going to an office, that's something you have to do. Things that are in your control, like starting a new workout regime or starting a new project or whatever it is you're doing. Monday's day one. So that is when you should have peak motivation, especially if you had the weekend to kind of relax and unwind. Come Monday, you should be raring to go. And then each subsequent day, you probably taper off a little bit. So by the time you get to Friday, it's like, okay, I'm ready for the weekend. So Monday, yeah, like you said, is a powerful, powerful day. And I think if you say, I'll start this on Monday, and it's, you hear people say that on a Tuesday. So you've got the best part of a week to wait until you have to start. And really, it just sounds like you don't really want to do it. If you really wanted to do it, you know, when you're buzzing with so much excitement that you just, I need to do it now.
Yeah.
And you just have all that energy.
It also gives you a chance to sabotage yourself in the meantime. Like, this is something we did this week, but kind of a reason. We had so much junk food and chocolate in the house over Christmas. And we recently did a 75-day health challenge, which I'm going to talk about more in a little bit. But we finished early January. I took the rest of the month off, and my intention was to start again on the 1st. So all of December, like that second half of December when your house is full of junk food, it's just been like, we have to eat this and get rid of it. And I ate so much chocolate. I enjoyed every moment of it. So there was a strategy in that, like, yeah, I'm going to go pedal to the metal, junk foodaholic, but that's to get it all out of the house, because when I'm on this challenge, I can't have it in the house. So yeah, it's a bit of an excuse to eat shit for, like, for serious for a few days, but it also was for a reason. But I think getting back to this, like, we're just talking about our goals, but we do want to talk about goals or fresh starts as a couple. So Rich has talked a lot about his view of goals, which I share a lot of that, or resolutions. Same, I used to think of one big New Year's resolution when I was a lot younger and never did anything with it and then stopped doing it. But for the past, gosh, I want to say 5 or 6 years, I've just had a few loose goals. And I say loose because I think I didn't have like monetary or numerical values. You know, it wasn't lose X pounds or work out X many days. It was things that I could quantify still, things like prioritize my health. So am I sticking to a meal plan? Am I moving? Am I exercising? Yes, maybe that changes over the course of the year, because, you know, you might pick something that you like at the beginning of the year, but then you decide you don't like it, or you get injured and you can't do it anymore. So it gives you wiggle room to change that, but still stick to that over that goal. I've had things like read X number of books, drink more water, things like that. So just,
why don't you talk about 75 hard?
Yeah, so this is something that, well, it's kind
some of you probably
very
aware of this challenge.
I wasn't ready to go into it yet, but you forced me.
Yes.
So basically, we want to talk about things that you can do together as a couple in the new year, or just things that you can focus on, kind of turning over a new leaf, maybe on some issues you've been facing over the past year. I have been really worried about people thinking of like, oh, 2020 was shit. Everything's going to be better when the clock strikes midnight for 2021. I think most of us are logical and intelligent to admit, like, well, we're 3 days in now, and COVID's still a thing. Economic crises are still a thing. Brexit's still a thing where we are. So things aren't better. But I think there is something very symbolic about the new year that gives us motivation to change our perspective. And I think that's massively what's needed, because I've completely fallen into the, oh, 2020, like, yeah, it's been hard, but like, it's nothing to do with the number 2020. It's just the way things aligned in the past several months to how the years turned out to be. So I personally, for me, am really trying to make sure that I don't use that victim mentality to excuse any shortcomings in 2021. We have a lot that we want to achieve personally, in our relationship, in our life, for the podcast, for our jobs. Like, we have a lot of things that we've been talking about that we're really excited about. But if we just kind of go on with this, like, I don't know what the world is right now. Like, that's true. It's really hard to plan things right now because we don't know where we're going to be in a month. Like, you know, I remember when we did our first episode talking about, you know, COVID, and we did that blog post about relationships suffering during, you know, long distance relationships during COVID. I remember saying to you, like, oh, I don't want to do any more COVID podcast episodes because, like, I don't want it to become our thing. We had no idea that it would still be going on 10 months later. We thought it would be like 6 weeks and the world would be back to normal. So all I'm saying is it's hard to plan, but you need to plan what you can. And I know it's been very important, and I've seen loads of things which I absolutely agree with, you know, like memes or quote things online about, you know, don't compare yourself to others in 2020. If you've survived, that's enough. And that's absolutely true. You know, if you've lost your job or you haven't been able to see your partner because of border closures, like, just getting through it is enough. But that doesn't mean that you can't plan some small things for yourself. And even if you can't plan trips because you don't know what your financial situation is going to be because you've lost your job because of COVID, or you don't know when you're going to be able to travel, you can still set goals of, I'm going to work out,
well,
or I'm going to paint, or I'm going to read, you know, whatever that is.
This is the thing, and I have a very different opinion of 2020 than 2020 has been very firmly split, I've noticed.
Yes.
There are people who are like, it's the worst, you're ever fuck 2020, and there are people who are like, 2020 was the best year of my life for any number of reasons. I wouldn't go so far as to say 2020 was the best year of my life, but there I made some significant changes and improvements in 2020 that I fully intend to keep and that have been, you know, huge improvements. The thing about 2020 that I think is really important for people to kind of grasp is it was a really powerful year that indicates how much is outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
And people focus so much on what's outside of our control. And we, you know, that's what the news is. That's a lot of what our social media is. Because social media, you're either seeing things like the news or your sports team lost, or you're seeing your friends' highlight reels and you're thinking, like, you know, these are the things that you haven't got any control over. Very easy to get overwhelmed and kind of feel sad about. So what 2020 should have done in this, the way I took it, was it made you realise the importance of focusing on the things that you can control. So my personal outlook is whatever year 2021 turns out to be, me ending it as a better person is fully in my control, and that's my benchmark for whether it's a good year. So that's not to trivialise 2020. You know, we know people whose businesses had to close, people who couldn't work, people who lost
loved ones.
So it's, yeah, the deaths, the illnesses. So all that aside, those are bad things that happened in 2020. They don't make 2020 a bad year.
Yeah.
If you can take from 2020 a huge life lesson that's going to give you success for the rest of your life because it changes your perspective on things, then 2020 was a good year for you. It can be a positive and a negative year. So,
well, for me, it's been very bittersweet, and I absolutely agree. You know, I think we're very fortunate, and we're talking from a place where we haven't lost any loved ones. We've experienced job loss in our household, but, you know, we have been fortunate to find other ways to make things work. So we have been affected, but not dire like some people. And I mean, and it's not just COVID. It's, you know, the equality marches, the fires. Like, there's been a lot of stuff happening this year, but...
But all of that, for me...
It's powerful.
It's powerful, but it reinforces that, what can you do for you?
Like, yeah.
It's in my control what I eat. It's in my control to get out of bed and go for a run, if that's what's on my agenda.
Yeah.
It's in my control to take control of my day. And your days make up your life. You know, I know that sounds really kind of cliche, but it's true. You know, those small decisions, if you know, you'll talk about it soon, I know, but, you know, we read more this year. We were very intentional. I think another thing, going back to the resolutions quickly, is it seems to be becoming quite popular now to have a word of the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite new to me. And I really like this idea. So some people, the one I saw the other day that I really like was consistency. So someone's, they're not really making resolutions, but their word this year, or maybe last year, was consistency. And I think that's a really good one. And if that then influences the decisions you make, when you set your alarm to go up half an hour early and you lay in there and you think, oh, it's warm, and you think, my word is consistency. Mm-hmm. And if the thing you want to be consistent at is getting out of bed earlier or not giving in to the easy way out all the time, yeah, I think that's a really powerful thing too.
Absolutely.
Resolutions do have the capacity to make you kind of sad. Like, if you don't stick with it, then you're going to feel like, oh, I'm such a failure, I couldn't even do that.
Yes, and which is why goals.
Like 82%, I read recently, 82% of resolutions fail by September, but by February.
Oh, yeah, so totally.
Don't know where I got September from.
You like
by
it.
By February. Yeah, so that's huge. The chances are, statistically, you'll be in that group. It's such an overwhelming majority. And then you're going to think, oh, I'm never going to try that goal again.
Well, this is why I think goals are better than resolutions, because they're a bit looser. So if it is get up earlier, and you're getting up earlier 5 out of 6 days that you want to do it, maybe you give yourself one day to stay in bed, you know, that's great. That's improvement. And I think it's also important to remember that growth as a human is slow sometimes. It's gradual. Mm. You're not going to wake up on January 1st and be that different person that you want to be based on what your resolutions are. It could take you all year. It could take you 6 months, depending on what your goals are. Like, consistency is key in anything you want to try and do. Anyways,
that reminds me real quick. I don't know what episode, but we had Jordan on last year. Mm-hmm. Jordan's site. I don't know what episode it was. So for those of you who didn't hear it, he's a personal trainer, fitness coach, was the coach to Gary Vee. He joined us last year because he travels a lot. I'm in a long-distance relationship. But one of the bits of content he put out that really stuck with me was this analogy of trying to lose weight, and you kind of think, if you've had a bad day or if you plateau, people think, oh, this isn't working, I'm going to stop and I'll give it all up. And he used the analogy, he said, if you get on a train that train starts to go. Sometimes it's slower, sometimes it's faster. It depends the distance between stops. It's inconsistent. He said, then it comes to a stop. The train will stop, the doors will open, people will get on and off, you know. And he said, but you don't sit there and think, oh, fuck, the train stopped, I'm going to get off, I'm going to go back, like, I'm not going anywhere anymore. He said, you know that's part of the journey, is that it stops and it will start again. And he said, even if you stay there for a little while, you're still closer to your goal than where you started from. And he said, but what people, the equivalent of people do with goals and is in the context of weight loss, but is that train will stop and then they'll think, oh, this is pointless, I'm going to get off the train, I'm going to get the train back home. And I thought, the way he phrased it, I thought that just made so much sense to me. And you can put that into context of any goals. Like you said, we can be slow, but as long as you're moving in the right direction, that's really all that matters. I think as long as you're like 70, 80% of the way there, you haven't got to be perfect. You haven't got to be 100%.
And Jordan also says, I don't think we discussed it in that podcast, but just on his social feeds talking about fitness, and I think it applies to anything, is he would rather have a client or someone who follows him be consistent and perfect 80% of the time than striving for 100%, because that's not achievable. And it's much better to be on it 80% of the time, because you'll still meet your goals, but you're not going to, like, so say it's a diet, you know, that means that out of 10 meals, 8 of them are on point and you maybe fudge, cheat a little bit on the other ones. That's great. You know, you're still being 80% better than you were before, but by being 100%, you're more likely to meet a point where you just like, oh, I need to eat, and you binge or whatever. So, I mean, but eating is just an example. Anyways, yeah, I think just from my own little reflection on 2020, like Rich has done, like, it's been a challenging year for sure, but it's also given me a lot of gifts. So that's why I kind of describe it as bittersweet. There was a lot of difficult things to witness in the world, a lot of worry, a lot of concern. Like I said, job loss, chances, you know, kind of lost to see my family. Two times we were meant to see my family that didn't happen because it just wasn't safe or travel was restricted. And yeah, that was really hard. And there was a lot of times of, like, especially early on, just like uncertainty, fear, isolation. I mean, there's been days where I just felt like I was gonna lose it, and we just had to, like, go out for a drive and get out for a bit because I just felt like I was gonna lose my mind in the house. But we've also got a lot of time back, where I would have been commuting or, you know, getting stuck in the office chatting to people before you leave, or, you know, whatever. You know, I've got at least 2 hours back to my day each day, and I've started getting up earlier to give myself more time. So I actually probably have 3 to 4 more hours a day to myself that I didn't have before this all happened. So that's kind of one of the silver linings. And we've used that time in a lot of different ways. At the very beginning, I was writing poetry a lot, which I haven't done in a long time. I, you know, have kind of invested in my spiritual self, reading a lot. And 75 Hard was one that came up at the end of this year. So
September.
Yeah, September. Rich was upstairs doing something. I was downstairs doing...
No, I was downstairs.
Oh, okay, because that's important. You've got fuzz in your beard.
Oh, thanks. You'd gone to bed.
No, I was upstairs. Maybe I was taking a bath. It doesn't matter. Anyways, this message popped up on my phone with an image. It said, do you want to try this? And it was like a graphic, 75 hard, this kind of trending fitness, health, lifestyle challenge. And my first instinct was what? Because it said, pick a diet, stick to it, don't cheat, no junk food, no alcohol, read 10 pages a day of nonfiction, drink a gallon of water, take a progress picture, and exercise twice for 45 minutes. So my first question was, is that twice a week or twice a day? Because that's going to be a deal breaker. And Rich goes, no, that's twice a day. And I was like, that's a lot. And I started thinking about all this time I have. And, you know, I made some progress in terms of fitness and health the first kind of chunk of the year, but was kind of stagnating and kind of just hovering at the same weight and goals. And I thought, you know what? Like, normally I'd be like, no, I don't want to do this. This looks awful. But what the hell? Like, even if I only do it for 10 days, at least it will give me a start on something and put me in the right direction. So it's all those rules for 75 days. And if you miss any one of those, so if you decide to cheat on your diet, if you don't drink your water, if you don't take a progress photo, if you don't read, if you don't do your workouts, you start back at day one. So you could be at day 64.
You could be at day 74.
You could be day 74.
You could be at day 74, read 9 pages and fall asleep, and you start at day one.
Yeah.
It's and like a real life snakes and ladders.
Yeah. So it's like it's not just a fitness challenge. It's more of a,
it's not described as a fitness challenge. He pitches it as a mental health challenge.
It's discipline.
Yeah. And because It's one, if you do it properly, then you... Following a diet doesn't mean you're necessarily in within the caloric restriction to lose weight or the surplus calories to gain weight. You know, it doesn't promise any particular transformation other than if you do it, you know, the fact is if you're working out twice a day and, you, and you're eating properly, then you will see some change. But
well, yeah, so for what I was doing, I saw weight loss. For what you were doing, you didn't lose any weight, but your body changed, your muscle tone changed.
But
like,
the point of it is, or is advertised as, discipline, you know, because the end of the day, it's one of those workouts has to be outside. It can be, it doesn't mean workout. We went for walks a lot, but it meant you have to do it even if it's raining or you just don't feel like it or you're tired.
But it's very different.
It's
like...
about doing things even when you don't want to. And this really can apply to relationships too and your goals for 2021. Like, it's about doing things that you don't want to do in the moment. The outlook I've started to take and adopt for how I operate is trying, and I still fail at this, but I'm trying, is to do what needs to be done, not what I want to do. You know, that most often rears its head in the gym for me when it's like, I'm tired, I don't want to do this like last little bit, and it's like, I need to do it, it's not what I want to do. You know, so that is very much the ethos of it. It's, yes, by the end of it, you will be different. But the ultimate, if you spend 75 consecutive days putting things in place, by day 76, they're ingrained. Like, it's,
yeah.
We've had some days off since, but it's very much in our routine now to go for a walk and to read every day and to drink more water. Like, it's just actually more. The difference is, you know, if you do fitness, a lot of quote-unquote fitness and health ones are often quite extreme, so you can see some change within a rapid period of time, but it's not sustainable. So by day 31, you're clawing at the walls for something different.
Well, yeah, and like this, like for me, and some people, you know, were sharing like their, because one of the things you do is you take a progress photo every day, and people, you know, on the challenge hashtag were showing day one and day 75, and some people have really drastic.
Some of the translations are just unbelievable, yeah.
So I definitely had physical and visible results, but they weren't that drastic. And so I didn't really think. Like, I knew I'd lost weight. The scales were telling me that. I knew my clothes were fitting different. I knew my face looked different. But I wasn't really thinking it was that drastic. And when I, at the very end, I compared day one and day 75. And I was like, oh, wow, actually, like, yeah, there's visible change there. Anyways, trying to get back onto fresh starts. This is something you can do together. And I would absolutely recommend it. And it doesn't have to be hardcore workouts. Rich was doing like a lifting program, but we have our garage set up as a gym with tons of weights and stuff, so we're able to do that. If you can't go to the gym, that's going to be difficult. You know, if things are close in your area and you don't have one at home. And then running, walking, different stretching routines is what you did. I did yoga and walking. So I'd get up at 5:30, do a 45-minute yoga video. There's thousands on YouTube. There's tons of DVDs, loads you can do. And then I'd go for a walk either at lunch or in the evening. At the weekends, I tend to do more walks than yoga. But all I'm saying is you can make it work for what you're doing, and you know, exercise is exercise.
So yeah, that's something. I find workout a bit misleading.
Yeah.
Like, a walk isn't a workout, but it counts.
It's exercise, yeah. So we did this together, started on the same day, finished on the same day, and we loved it. And it was something we did together, even though we weren't doing the same things, if that makes sense. Like, we weren't working out together, but we did lots of walks. But we had each other to hold one another accountable. So something I'd often do is get in bed before I take my progress picture. So every night, Rich would come in the bedroom, have you taken your picture? Yep. Or, oh shit, nope, let me get up and do it now. You know, or, hey, you're falling asleep. How many pages do you have left? Because I'm terrible at staying awake reading in bed. So, you know, or me saying, oh, we need to go for a walk tonight, don't we? Oh yeah, shoot, I haven't done my second workout. So we did it together, but did it apart, so that we had nice time on our own to focus on ourselves and do things, but then we were supporting each other, so that's a great thing to do. Something else that you might want to try and focus on this month going into the new year is laying any issues you guys have had to rest. I think we all, and obviously this isn't, if there's been cheating and abuse and, you know, serious issues, obviously you need to deal with that, maybe get some counseling or separate, well, you know, for big issues, but I mean things like those niggly things that are just an issue in your relationship that you argue about. It could be something to do with finances. It could be something to do in the bedroom.
Well, yeah. One of the things with the 75 hard, if probably particularly for long distance, but also even in our situation, I think, if one of the things you're struggling with is communication, if both of you got it set up in your day to go for a walk, that's a really good time to get on the phone and just have a conversation. Or for us, obviously, we went for walks together, and we found that we had a lot of conversations that we wouldn't have otherwise had.
Yep.
So that was definitely beneficial to the relationship. And the other thing on your final point there about finances and bedrooms and things, something new we've implemented for the very first time really is we bought a physical calendar, and we've started writing things on there that are important that we want to do this year. It's going to look different for everyone. There's not really much point us talking about what's on there if you've got a lot of trips planned. We've included just things, actionable things to be done around the house at regular intervals. You know, not rotas, it's not got a name on it.
Just reminders.
But reminders, yeah. You know, it's the point being, you know, that intentionality again. If there are things that are important to you this year, now is the time of year to say, you know, let's get it out in the open, let's talk about it, let's kind of attack it together. And having a calendar or any kind of central repository, I guess, where you can have that information on there, where it's visible to both of you, it's going to be really powerful.
Yeah. We've put stuff like date nights on there too, stuff like that, favorite nights. Something else that you could do as part of 75 Hard to help with that communication is you guys could pick the same nonfiction book, like something relationship improvement or communication and marriage, something like that. Or you could download our guide if you're long distance and read it.
We have a thing in there about book clubs and movie nights and things.
So that might be something that you could do as part of that. You know, get the same book for something that, you know, would help in your relationship, and read it together and then chat about it. But really, you know, fresh starts don't have to just be for you and your body and your mind and your hobbies and your goals. But you can put that into your relationship. So if there is something like your finances or your, you know, there's something in the bedroom that's, you know, causing an issue, or, you know, not having enough time together because of children or jobs or whatever, I think it's really important to give yourself kind of a line in the sand and say, look, this is something we were really struggling with, you know, up until, well, we're still struggling with it. We've maybe had some hurtful words over it, or we just constantly butting heads. What are we actually going to do about this that can stop being a problem in our relationship? Draw a line in the sand, put a plan together, and work together for it. And it's that same thing that we've talked about in many episodes that I heard on a Dax Shepherd Armchair Expert podcast episode when he had his wife Kristen Bell on, that once they realized they were on the same team, everything got easier. So if you stop kind of trying to battle against each other and trying to prove your own point and realize, wait, we're a team, we're on the same team, everything, you start to see things a bit different in terms of how you work together. So I think it's a great time to do that. You know, you're already feeling a little bit like, yeah, fresh start, new me, new year, or new year, new me. So why not put that into your relationship, new us, or, you know, think of something you really wanted to do that you've never done before and give yourself a chance to do it. I mean, we're just doing some different things this month even. You know, we've talked a lot about January. I really struggle in January, having grown up somewhere very sunny. You know, this gray kind of endless month really gets to me. So I said, like, what can we do this month to make things a little bit more exciting? A little bit, you know, vary it up, make it feel less bleak. So we've decided to do a 90s movie theme all month. So we may not do it every single night. If you have listened to us for a long time and read some blogs, you know that we did 4 or 5 years ago, we did a Halloween movie challenge for all of October. Every single night of October, we watched a horror movie. So we may not do it every single night, but we're just going to pick movies from the 90s. It just makes it a bit different. This coming weekend is my favorite night. We're making sushi. We've ordered, like, you know, the mats and stuff to make sushi. Cooking together isn't something we do very often. We've done it a little bit this past year because we've been home more to cook more involved meals, but it's something we really do enjoy. So I think we'll probably try and find ways to do that this year together. So it doesn't have to be huge things. If you don't have any big things like bedroom issues or finance issues or jealousy issues or insecurity issues, find something that you don't do together that you've always wanted to. Maybe that means hiking. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's whatever. You know, I think pick something that you want to work on as a couple this year and do that. And this time last year, we did release an episode, New Year's Resolutions for Couples. So you might want to listen to that. We wanted to be a bit looser with that this year. Obviously, it's a very different year. And some of the goals we might have suggested back then might not be realistic for this year. But yeah, I think you know, it is what it is. We are where we are in the world. But as kind of Rich said, like, you still have some control over some things in your life. So focus on those. And if by the end of 2021, you're a better person than you were today, like, what more can you ask for, really? Yeah. So yeah, I think that's probably a good place. Are there any other bits you want to add to that?
No, like, just focus on what you can control. And as far as the relationship is what do you both want? What can you do? Just incremental changes and improvements. Like, you know, you may think you spend too much time together already, so it's how do you, you know, have your own time a little bit. So that would look very different than a couple who needs to spend more time together. But you need to just identify where you two are trying to go, or, you know, if you're in a larger relationship, whether three or four of you need to go, you know, but where are you, where do you want to go? And then it's just making those incremental changes. And like you said before, you can progress slowly, but progress is progress.
Yeah, for sure. So really, that's the gist of it. I know this is kind of vague, but it's just kind of inspire you and get the conversation going. And also, don't feel like annoyed that, you know, you're listening to this, it's January 3rd, like, oh, I missed the first. Like, it doesn't matter. The year is long, you know, there's lots you can do. I was supposed to start 75 Hard Again on the 1st, but I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't. I waited until yesterday to start.
Oh, and it's Monday tomorrow, so you can start tomorrow.
It's Monday, yes. For this occasion, we will let you start on Monday. But even if you don't know yet what you want to do in terms of your relationship, just start talking about it and come up with your little goals or those things that you need to leave in the past and forgive each other for and find ways to move forward proactively.
Yeah.
Do it and be kind to each other. Have a great week, guys. Bye.